for the Word of God. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. I, Paul, circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of Christ. The surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and for His sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have an ongoing project at the Ingersoll House, or perhaps to put it more accurately, a rarely, if ever, going project. The project now is clean out the basement. Before that, in our previous home, it was to clean out the storage house in the backyard. You see, the problem is the stuff in the basement. We hope to make that basement not only into a guest room and a living room, a great room, but to do so in a fashion where others aren't walking around in between boxes and can feel much more comfortable. But there's so many things there. Now, one member of our family has a common sense formula. Take care of what you have, and when it is broken, used up, or of no value, then you throw it away or recycle it. Then she married me. And I insisted on a new formula: take care of what you have until it is broken or useless to you or anyone else, and then, yes, you may recycle it, or if not, then you put it in the basement. Or before that, in the storage house out back. Now, I mean, after all, who knows when we might need that rocking chair that the seat is completely out of. We might redo that someday. Or just because we haven't unpacked one of the boxes for the 7 years or so we've lived here, doesn't mean that sometime in the next 7 years, we might need something in that box. Well, I'm not actually a hoarder. From time to time, we do go through things. But for me, it's so very, very hard. So hard. And for most of you, this is not really an issue. Things get broken or no longer of any value, and then sometimes even I know that you have to dispose of them. But once in a while, just once in a while, there is a case of somebody throwing away something of great value. Something very good and very right gets tossed. Now, perhaps you can think of such times. Let's give an example. A man in an expensive suit sees a child drowning. He goes into the water. He can't swim with all that on, and he removes his valuable suit in the water in order to rescue the child. The suit is still good, but compared to the life of the child? Yes, he tosses out the good thing. Or imagine the pioneers moving west. They're trying to get to California or Oregon, and they come to the Rocky Mountains, and the snow is beginning to fall, and those wagons are so very heavy, squeaking, wheels straining, horses pulling. They can go no farther, and they go up as high as they can, but they cannot get up any higher. And finally, the leader says, "We're going to have to unburden some of the wagons." The children are crying, the parents are crying, but over into the ravine goes the furniture that's been in the family for generations, a chest of precious things, perhaps a piano. But the group cannot go on if they hold on to these things. It's a matter literally of life and death. In view of the crisis, even that which is good has to go. Now, the minister Fred Craddock points out that it is quite possible that no such occasion will arise in your life. This is often the story of movies and novels, interesting and moving, but so what? But even though it's unusual, even though it may never happen to you, I still want to share with you a case of someone who tossed away what was extremely valuable. His name was Paul. And he said when he wrote to his friends in Philippi, there in northern Greece, if Paul were to enter a bragging contest, hey, I'd win. Not for what I have, I'm not a wealthy man, but for who I am. My identity, my genealogy, my family tree, my connections, my standing in the community, I can win any bragging contest. I want you to know I'm a Jew. I'm proud of that. I'm a member of the house of Israel. We've been mistreated severely. We've been literally destroyed in community after community. But I remind you that we have clung to our faith in God. We've kept the light on when darkness threatens everywhere. We've given the world the basis for moral and ethical standards, the Ten Commandments. My family, Benjamin, they are the smallest of the tribes of Israel, but they don't amount to much in many people's eyes. But did you know that my tribe, Benjamin, contributed to Israel its first king, King Saul? I'm named for him, you know, Saul of Tarsus, and I'm proud of that. My denomination, I'm Pharisee. I know there's other Jews who have different views, but I'm proud to be a Pharisee. Being a Pharisee simply means that we believe in the Bible. We follow the Bible. We establish synagogues wherever we go. And the one thing we hold at the center is how important it is to know the Scripture, to listen to the Scripture, to obey the Scripture. And yes, I'm proud of that. And as for myself, I've kept true to the Scripture. I live by the book. I'm proud of that. Yes, if I went into a bragging contest, I would beat out everybody. My standing, my character, my family, my genealogy, it's all unsurpassed. And yet Paul goes on to say this: I count all this as rubbish. I tossed it. I took it to the dump. Why? We do not have a story here of a man who regrets his past, a man who's all torn up inside and burdened by guilt, a man who's depressed at night and cannot sleep, saying, "Oh, what am I going to do?" No, this is not about guilt. All of his zeal and achievements, all that I have just recited to you, all that's good. Also, we do not have a case like you hear so often about of a new Christian being asked to give up terrible old habits. If you're going to be a Christian, we might say you ought to give up those bad habits, all the ugly things you've ever done. You've got to lay them down and come to the Lord. And certainly that might be true in some cases and situations, but instead, here we're talking about a man who said that if one reviewed his past before he came to Christ, one would find only good stuff. Nevertheless, said Paul, I took it to the dump. Now, why? Was the church some occasion for some sort of upward mobility? Did Paul say, "Well, hey, it looks like everybody here who is anybody is joining the church. I might as well switch my membership from the synagogue"? No. That wasn't happening at all. Then why did he do it? He didn't have to do it. Every church that ever existed would have been glad to have had Paul. He's the kind of folk we need in church. Folk like you, good, clean, upright, honest, productive, love the Bible, do what is right, follow the Ten Commandments kind of folks. Is there a church anywhere who would say no to the Apostle Paul? He doesn't have to do all this tossing of his past. Hey, just add Jesus and join the church. That would have sufficed. In fact, Paul could have done what some other people do: join the church and then pick and choose the parts you like. Come now and then, give now and then, do a little now and then, maybe serve on a committee now and then. There are lots of folks who do that. Paul could have done that. Who would object to that? But he threw it all away. Why would he throw away all the good things? Stuff he's just called good. This man believed that Jesus Christ was with God, but that Christ did not count being with God and being equal to God something to covet or to grasp. Instead, Jesus Christ emptied himself, became a human being, and was obedient to the hour of death, even death on a cross. That's what Christ is like, not upward mobility, but downward mobility. He came from the presence of God, from all that was so good. He came from the ivory palaces, from the throne, from the glory, from the angels. He possessed all that is so good, but he tossed it and became a human being like you and me. And Paul says, how can I claim to be a follower of that man and still seek upward mobility? How can I still keep my own agenda, keep my own pride, keep my own selfishness, and just add in a little church every now and then if it fits in? And how can I tack Christianity around the edges but keep my life intact when this new faith in the name of Jesus, who gave it all up, took it to the heavenly dump, and came down here as a servant? Do you know what Paul thought? He thought if you're going to be a Christian, then you should be like Jesus. So then what do you do with your pride? What do you do with your own agenda? What do you do with your own selfishness? What do you do with your own independence? What do you do with your own calendar, which may or may not add up to a little church? You take it to the dump in order that you may be like him. This unusual man like Paul had the idea that the ideal Christian life would be to be like Christ, to love, to care, to give, to serve, and to sacrifice like Christ did. I'm not there yet, he said. I do not mean for you to get that idea that I've arrived, that I've attained the goal. Oh, no. But I tell you this, being like Jesus Christ is the one thing on my mind. Most importantly, Paul forfeited designing his own life. He gave up careerism for calling. He gave up his fantasy of independence for the truth of interdependence. He allowed what was in his head about Christ to enter his bloodstream, his calendar, his checkbook. He took on Jesus' spirituality of simplicity. It's incredible. But sometimes there are those places and those times when it becomes so evident this is the thing to do. Fred Craddock, whom I've quoted before, talks about a missionary couple who ministered in China. They were under house arrest when the communists took over, and the soldiers came one day and said, "Hey, you can return to America." They were celebrating, and the soldiers said, "You can take 200 pounds with you." They've been there for years. 200 pounds? They got the scales and started the family argument. Must have this vase. Well, this is a new typewriter. That was back in the days of typewriters. You remember that, some of you. What about my books? What about this? And they weighed everything, and they took this off and took that off, and finally, right on the dot, 200 pounds. And the soldiers asked, "Ready to go?" "Yes." "Did you weigh everything?" "Yes." "You weighed the kids?" "No. We didn't." And in a moment, typewriter and vase and family heirlooms become trash. True story. It does happen. But for most of us, life is not that much of a crisis. We're blessed with freedom here, thanks to veterans and others who have made sacrifices on our behalf. But sometimes we look outside, say, for example, and see a beautiful Sunday. This is one of the few we'll see for a while. And we say, "Hey, the world's too beautiful. There's so many good things out there. Off I go." So maybe it means in those moments, why not here? Why not put off the lake for a couple of hours? Come, we're Christ, we worship and praise. Or we get so busy with our life, there just seems to be hardly any time for prayer and devotions. I like the title of a book. I don't even remember the author, but he said in his book title, "Life is too busy not to pray." That's what it may mean for you, what it may mean for me. Yes, sometimes we have to put things that are very good aside to focus on the most important and reorganize our priorities. Now, I'm not there yet, and even Paul said, I'm running toward this, heart pounding, muscles aching, temples throbbing, I'm pressing on toward the goal of being like Jesus Christ. But he hasn't arrived, and neither have I, and neither have you. And I know the Apostle Paul's unusual. I must confess that I do not often enough take Jesus Christ that seriously, and I'm a pastor. In fact, you rarely meet anybody who takes Jesus Christ that seriously. But I felt I had to bring it to your attention today because once in a while somebody does. And I had the feeling that person might be you.